Dear Shooter, today we'll talk to you about the Hawaii homeowner being arrested for self-defense and why that should be expected. And then, Hurricane Helene.
Helene's this Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
It's not about protecting the stupid, it's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I want to know.
I looked like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
You know, as we were mucking through all the mud trying to figure out a topic for today, I mean, all the news is bad. I mean, it kind of does feel like the apocalypse.
We're headed for an election.
Are you saying all elections are apocalypse?
This one is going to be apocalyptic.
Yeah, I think it might be.
I still don't know why people are shocked. I mean, even Mother Nature's protesting.
You're not wrong. I mean, you got the hurricane and the floods on the East Coast, which, Brandy, you were just kind of giving me the death toll, and I'm actually really shocked it's as low as it is, considering. I mean, that was horrific, some of the stuff you were showing me.
Well, that's confirmed death toll. They said, they had people floating in houses down the waterway, so they're not sure where everybody's at. They also have no cell phone, no telephones, no power, so it's possible some people are dead somewhere else.
You know, that kind of brings us full circle to a conversation we had a couple of months ago with Matt Everett about comms going down and the necessity of having some alternatives.
But who are you going to talk to? Comms are out everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Radios will still work.
Okay. I got some dude on a mountaintop.
Well, no, apparently everybody ran to the mountain and that's where the hurricane hit. You're talking about Asheville, North Carolina was like ground zero.
Oh, geez. That's where Rob's from.
Fletcher, I thought.
Wasn't very far, is it?
I don't know. I don't think it is, because I know he's up in the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's just crazy. And then we've got two really bad fires in Wyoming right now.
Well, our really bad one kicked back up again.
Yeah.
Because in their infinite wisdom, they decided they were going to watch it instead of put it out. And when we drove through there last week, it was still kind of smoking. Nobody around.
Thank you, Sierra Club.
Oh, my gosh. But it's now a rager. What looked like a storm front last night was actually the smoke plume.
Yeah, it was horrible. Nuts. And what did you tell me the new acreage is?
God, I think they said 19,000.
19,000. It was 9 yesterday.
That's the new?
That's up to date. Today they said most of that growth was on Sunday.
Well, the way the wind was just screaming through here today, it does not surprise me one bit.
There's a lot of really high-rent homes up there.
Yes, there is. is this Mother Nature's version of Eat the Rich?
Well, the insurance in this part of the world is going to be a thing, because I've seen this happen before in places like Texas when they have flood season and the insurance companies just go, hey, we're leaving.
Yeah, and here's one for you. This is something we were kind of talking a little bit about yesterday. They're talking about all the electric vehicles that are catching fire because of these floods, because of the hurricane. And then, of course, you can't put it out.
It's the salt water is reacting poorly to
the
battery.
Lithium.
Well, water and lithium are a bad combination anyway.
Right.
But flooding, it was never designed to be a U-boat. So yeah, it's going to be a problem.
But they're talking about these things are going up in flames in people's garages.
Well, you can't put that out.
Exactly. So the house is now gone.
I mean, you can, but nobody carries a fire extinguisher with the right foam in it.
Even then, they said they've put them out, drug them over to a salvage yard, and it caught back on fire.
Oh, jeez.
But so that was my first thought, was like, okay, all of these EVs are catching fire. How long before the insurance companies go, you live on the coast in a flood-prone area. We're just not going to insure you.
The electric vehicle thing, I get it's a feel-good, but in practicality, it is starting to show itself as a bad idea. Add Mother Nature's anger to it, and you've got a whole bunch of bad ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I say? When Mother Nature decides to clean house, she, like, wipes it all out?
And she's not afraid to set fire to her living room.
No. No, it's scary. I mean, all this stuff going on. And what have we been talking about for almost 2 years now? Like, the whole vein of Dear Shooter and be prepared and be trained and be aware and what's going on. Now, with this hurricane, if I understand this correctly, it was supposed to zig and it zagged. And these guys were kind of caught off guard.
Well, back to the old adage Grandpa had. You want to make God smile, tell him your plans. And weathermen, weather women, weather people, politically correctly, they're 50% right 50% of the time. So when they say the storm's going to take a left, you might brace yourself for it to not do that.
Right, which is sad. I mean, it really is with the technology that we have. And I remember reading a story. It was Pravda, Russian media. And they were talking, I think it was last year, they executed 8 meteorologists for being so wrong because the farmers depended on those forecasts for their crops.
Right. Well, the one thing you can count on is that we don't know a fuck all about what's going on. Once you put your ego into it, you're going to be wrong. And what do? You put your ego and your faith into a weatherman.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad bet.
I've talked to a meteorologist, and he said, mountains play. We can tell you what direction it's moving in, but as it goes over the mountains, it has a mind of its own, and then they're like, why correct it? Because by the time it comes over the mountain, you already know.
So, and we're already pissed.
Yeah, and it was because he was wrong. We just don't know enough to be able to say we know enough and have people trust it.
Right. There's too many variables. And we talk about this all the time, especially in long-range shooting. There are so many variables to consider. That's why it makes me nuts when you got somebody who goes out there and goes, oh, well, you know, your scope, that's a 5-mile-an-hour scope because your BC is 0.5. I mean, come on.
In the grand scheme of mid-range course, he's hedging his bets. And I can see where a rule of thumb, and it's an estimation.
I get it.
It's a best guess.
I get it.
The keyword guess. But I can see where he gets the idea. But functionally, it's just wrong overall.
Oh, and I get what he's doing. And like you said, he's hedging his bets. And he's talking to the people that are playing Minute of Steel.
True.
You're probably going to be 70% right 70% of the time. But as hunters,
for recreational shooters, that's fine.
That is fine. But as hunters,
when you're taking a life,
we have ethics to deal with. That's not good enough.
Whether you're going to take it home and eat it or you're solving a problem through diplomacy, if you're taking a life, that's not okay.
It's not okay. That's not okay. So, but before we talk about Hawaii here, let's back up, because I didn't really get to hear from you last week when we talked to Brian. Vet Healing Adventures, this is your two's brainchild.
Yeah, so
now
I'm brainchild.
from an observer perspective, from somebody who's kind of helped out and been involved from the get-go, I really felt that this year's event was probably the best that you've ever had.
In the realm of it running smoothly and the minimal amount of drama, yes, it was one of the better events that we've ever had, I've ever been a part of. I've been in and part of veteran assistant groups for coming on 15 years now. I've seen some things come and go and some fashion things come and go, but when it boils right down to it, it's about the vets. And as a group that's putting it on, our job is to make sure that that experience for them goes off as close to without a hitch as possible. That's not always possible, but our job is to try and minimize that and make the experience positive. Because what we're trying to do at the end of the day is give them some time away from their daily so they can forget, maybe put aside some of the troubles, some of the demons and torture, and build new relationships, build new friendships, go and do something they haven't done and maybe ever. And it doesn't take but 48 hours. It's like recharging your batteries, right? And then they can go back with a fresh perspective to their world and have a leg up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're really trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And we accomplished that this year. 20 vets?
Yes.
And everybody tagged out?
Yes.
Everybody seemed to have a extremely positive experience. Some of the guides were frustrated, but it's not about them. So I think you're right. It's one of the better events we've had.
Oh, I had an absolute ball with my vets. I was lucky. I was with someone that had come back as part of your mentor program, and he had brought a couple of vets with him. The four of us piled into the truck on Saturday morning and took off, and we had the time of our lives until we came back at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon with two antelope in the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm. But you know, experience didn't end there.
No.
Well, you got to watch everybody else come in, and you got to crack a beer and hang out.
We didn't, though. Like, we really didn't. Like, I dumped off the antelope. We had to go back out for another one.
I know. I went with you.
Now, we won't discuss how many rounds were discharged in that little adventure.
Yeah, there was a few. I think he listened to us too often, and he had a lot of pressure about that one that was in the road.
He did try and take it in the road.
He did.
We blame you.
That's not me. Wilson started that.
Now, hold on a second. I propagated. That Mike McCoy started that. But yes, I propagated. And it is easier if you can manage to shoot them.
Oh, my God. It's so much easier.
Oh, come on. Antelope's not that bad.
It's not.
No, it's really not.
But both you fuckers have done it to me. With elk.
Not my fault.
I was in the road.
I know.
I was in the road too, and it's not my fault. I had to take that shot.
Brandy was in the road, and it was a clarification issue on my part. You were in the road, and you fucking knew better.
I knew better, but I had to. I had no choice. It's ethics. Ethically, I had no choice.
I know. Looking back on it, you're right. You didn't have much of an option. Damn it, man.
So, speaking of options, back to the hurricane, back to the fires.
Okay.
This is something I'm actually getting ready to do here in a couple of weeks. I'm gonna be going down and doing a consult, helping people become better prepared.
Where?
I'll be doing this in Salt Lake.
Oh, okay. Good.
Well, one of the things I always ask when we talk about preparedness, that I this is the very first question when I sit down with somebody, is what are you preparing for?
It's usually more specific than it probably should be.
No, it's not. That's the trap that people fall into.
Right.
Well, I'm preparing for, you know, a hurricane, an earthquake. I'm preparing for Yellowstone to blow up. I'm preparing for the financial collapse, for civil war, for all these things. And while valid concerns, they're all wrong.
Agreed.
You are preparing to keep your family safe, sheltered, fed, healthy. That's your mission.
Back to options.
Right.
And less of a specific event.
Right. And that's just it. Those are all trigger events.
That's right.
Yes, but those events would not have helped during this hurricane.
Oh, no. We're not done yet because I'm still waiting for, you know, Yellowstone may blow up still. It's an election year.
Where you live, you're done. Oh, There's no prepping.
No, I'm going to get up on top of the roof of the shop with a lawn chair and a case of beer and see how many I can get down before I die.
But in the full
enjoy the show.
Vein of being a devil's advocate here. You bring up a good point, Brandy, where you live, right? If I tried to prepare for a hurricane here in Wyoming, that's batshit crazy. Don't do that.
Why not? I hear it's beer and brisket. Oh, wait, that's Texas.
If I prepare for that here, the likelihood of me flooding here is pretty small. My house isn't going to float away unless I live in Hudson.
Good point.
And so, I mean, preparing for that is not something that I need to look at. I prepare for the supply chain to be interrupted.
Mm-hmm. Which it might.
It might.
They're talking about a dock strike tonight.
But that's about the only thing that gets me caution. Everything else I can manage.
Oh, yeah.
I can build stuff. I can repair stuff.
Severe weather, power outages.
Power outages.
That's our big thing is that, you know, the massive winter storm. I mean, 2 years ago, there was multiple times we could not leave.
I know how wind and solar power both work. I can figure this out. But if I don't have my cigars, I mean, tobacco's not native to here.
Well, in a flood, they'd be humid. It'd be fine.
That's not going to happen here. Remember, track with me here.
If you're in Hudson.
Yeah.
He's moving.
Yeah, I'm not staying in Hudson. I'm chaining my house down. It's bad. But
you put it on caissons, like on stilts.
Absolutely right. People should do this. But prepare for things that are going to be likely in where you live.
Agreed. But at the same time, I think just general preparedness. Be able to either stay or go. Have a plan for either.
Agreed.
And how are they supposed to, in Asheville, North Carolina, have a plan to stay or go?
Fine.
They knew the storm was coming. They could have left.
It wasn't supposed to hit them, and a lot of people seek refuge during a hurricane in the Asheville area because it's up in the mountains.
She's
so they
wrong.
Leave the lower land
back
and
to
move
that,
up.
Back to that cocksucker weatherman. He gave everybody bad information.
I mean, how often do you hear hurricane in the mountains?
Well, it's North Carolina. They're not really mountains.
No.
They call them mountains.
I know.
They call them mountains. We brought a North Carolina boy out here and introduced him to mountains.
Yeah, he didn't even know what to say. He stuttered. But, yeah, so.
We call those foothills.
Yeah. They got a lot of trees. And when, I guess, areas with trees flood, there's a lot of debris.
Well, yeah, but it, exactly what you're saying. You know, you're talking about regionals. We don't even consider mountains unless they go above the tree line.
That's correct. That's 10,500 feet.
Right. Anything less, it's a hill.
It's a hill. Hurricanes are not likely where we live. It's likely where they live. It's coastal to the most part. And within 200 miles, it's coastal. So prepare for that. Be aware. If it's possible and you think you're in a bad area, leave. I know people get attached to things and stuff.
Okay, so big cities, more population than here. We could get in our car and leave. The whole county could. Wouldn't matter. One town in North Carolina all decides to pack up and leave. Streets are now congested. You go nowhere.
Right, which is why you've got to have a plan. And you need to have your individual triggers of, okay, if we know this, we're gone. You don't wait for the weatherman. You don't wait for the government to tell you it's time. You need to make that decision for yourself.
Agreed. I mean, you can choose to weather it out, but then any complaining you do at that point is kind of mute.
What I'm saying is I don't think these people chose to weather it out. It was not supposed to hit there.
I don't disagree with
you
there.
According to your weatherman.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. And they were counting on that. So when do we start lining up and executing the weatherman that didn't call this one?
Well, I mean, being wrong.
I mean, we prosecuted Bernie Madoff. Can't we figure out how to make the weather a Ponzi scheme?
We might be able to. But I mean, being wrong about something that people can go outside and look up, I have a hard time demonizing the weatherman too much.
Yeah, I do too.
Right? That personal responsibility part of being prepared. Get informed from a couple different sources rather than just one dude. Just saying.
I think the problem is, and it's the same problem we have with most media, is it gets reported and then everybody else picks that up because they're too lazy to do their own work.
There's a lot of that. And we don't have news media in this country anymore. It's all commentary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting for the story to break on how this hurricane is Trump's fault. I mean, you heard it here first. I mean, seriously, it's coming.
It will be. I'm surprised they didn't name it Hurricane Vance.
That's
It's not time for the V yet. Yeah.
No.
Hurricane season's not over.
How many? So we go through the alphabet and then we switch back to male names? Is that how that works?
It's every other letter, I think. It goes male, female, but once, if the year before it was male, it turns female. I don't know.
Yeah.
So when's the transgender hurricane season?
Jacqueline.
All right. You came to that really fast, by the way.
Wow. I remember a Halloween party I was at a few years ago, and this woman came to the party, and she was Jacqueline.
You would be a train wreck on sodium pentothal.
Oh, probably.
Oh, my God. That was really kind of id Freudian fast.
I just know stuff. I can't help it. And on that note, I may need another drink.
The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for.
All right, so we've been talking about North Carolina, basically the whole East Coast. Let's switch gears here, and let's go all the way like halfway across the world and talk about Hawaii for a second.
What's going on over there?
So, there was a dispute, let's call it.
That was more than a dispute. Holy shit.
So, there's a neighborhood, and they say it's about 30 miles outside of Honolulu.
Okay.
And two neighbors got into an argument. One neighbor liked to host parties at his house.
All right.
And this was a source of ire for most of the rest of the neighborhood.
Wasn't P. Diddy's house?
No.
Damn it.
No. I don't know. Apparently not. This guy's name Silva.
Yeah, I was gonna say we can't pronounce half that crap. So
I'm not even gonna try because I don't want to offend anybody here because they sound like very, very nice people. On one side, just on one side.
Not Batista Silva.
No.
Okay. Good.
No. So. Hiram Silva.
Interesting. I don't know Hiram.
Anyway, he gets all bent out of shape because he's having a party, and his partygoers are driving cars way too fast through this neighborhood, and one of the neighbors, Richard Kimo Carnate?
You really need to pre-read your stuff.
I know. I've been trying to pronounce this for 20 minutes.
Oh, all right.
Complained and said, hey, we're having a gathering of the neighborhood over here. There's small children. Can you have your people at least not race up and down the streets? This prompted Silva to jump into his front-end loader.
Are you sure you have the names right?
I do. Drives it, grabs a hold of his front-end loader and starts driving over cars, running into things, and begins shooting people.
Whoa.
Killed three, wounded two.
I mean, it's fun when you're, you know, maiming cars. It's going to get expensive. But at what point did he decide shooting people was a good idea?
Well, before he shot people, he drove his front loader into the house.
I mean, okay, so heavy equipment, drugs, whatever it is, they don't mix. He was probably having a really good time. It's going to be expensive for him. But when you decide to shoot people, things escalated quickly.
Well, it gets worse.
Well, it's actually the Richard guy who was having the party. The Silva guy's the guy that drove the front loader in.
No, he was having a party as well.
Yeah.
And they were asking the people going to that party to not drive 9,000 miles an hour up and down the neighborhood streets.
All right.
So this is what caused the fight.
It escalated into heavy equipment.
Right. Yep. Well, it gets worse. This heavy equipment had barrels of gasoline in the bucket.
Oh, no.
Which not only was he shooting at people, he was shooting at the barrels.
Did he know he was shooting at barrels of gasoline?
Oh, yes, he did. Now,
oh my.
The neighbor...
He actually shot three people in the home.
Yeah.
The guy with an unregistered gun, the Richard guy who shot back, his gun's at least registered, and it was
right.
His...
Domain. In Hawaii, firearms are kind of frowned upon.
They are tough to get, and they all have to be registered.
And he was licensed and registered.
Okay.
He was.
The plot thickens.
Chemo Canarte. Canarte.
All right.
He took a shot and killed Silva.
Oh, no.
No, this was good. Like, this needed to happen.
That's the guy that Silva's
he
the guy
was
that
the one
that
was driving the front end loader and started shooting everyone.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So he was shot and killed, stopped. This is, I don't care what your metrics are for a mass shooting. This was a mass shooting.
Now, did he shoot more than three?
He killed three, shot two more.
Okay, so it's on a mass scale.
Okay.
Rampage of a madman with some heavy equipment.
Right.
All
right. So he was shot and killed. Now, the defender was promptly arrested, taken to jail. Until things were sorted out. And how many times have we said on this show, even if you're right, you're going to go to jail for a little while?
That's active shooter 101.
Right.
But the way this is written, they made it sound like, you know, Hawaii did this to him, and how could they possibly make him go to jail for this? Well,
it's policy.
They have to sort stuff out,
correct.
Right?
Right. It was people who were there who saw what happened that were appalled that he was taken to jail. And from their perspective, I can understand why they would think that. But we got to sort it out, people. You're probably going to spend the night in jail.
Just going to go over it one more time in case somebody missed it. You find yourself in an altercation where you have to use a deadly force firearm in a situation like that. Your gun is getting confiscated. You are going to jail. It's just how it goes.
Because they can't do the he said thing.
Nope.
They have to sort this out.
Now, you will be detained. You may or may not be charged, but you will be detained. So the number one thing people don't do is get with USCCA and have the insurance and have a lawyer on call. Because if you do, you'll be out. Relatively quickly, and you have a damn good chance of not having your house taken and being dragged through the mud. But you will go to jail that day.
And most shootings, let's be clear, most self-defense shootings are not this clear.
I mean, well, that many witnesses,
yeah,
that's
this was
pretty cut and dried.
Right.
He still went to jail. Do we have any information following it the next day or two?
So he spent 20 hours in jail.
Okay.
And the prosecution chose... They booked him on second-degree murder.
He was charged.
They booked him. They did not charge him. The prosecutors, once they had investigated and talked to the witnesses and figured out, kind of sorted out what was going on, they declined to charge him.
So they're not going to prosecute him. He's out.
Right.
That's how the system should work.
I agreed. But I don't, I'm not going to sit here and fault them. I'm not going to badmouth them for taking him in.
That's policy.
Right.
That's just, that's like I said, 101. It's how it goes.
And that's why we want to reiterate, like, look, if you ever get into this, this is how it's going to go, even if you are 100% clearly in the right and you have 20 witnesses to back you up.
You're going to jail.
Now.
Enjoy your time away from everything for a minute.
Right?
Because it's not going to be like that when you get out.
No. No. It's going to be a mess.
Well, this changed a lot for Hawaii because the local lawmakers are now discussing the possibility of strengthening the state's self-defense laws in response.
And it's a Democrat!
It's a Democrat that's doing it, and they want to shift more towards a stand your ground rather than duty to retreat.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Do we dare, before you go there, we're saying this is a Democrat.
Right.
Who's going for stand your ground, yes.
That actually has some common sense.
Yes.
Interesting, you have my attention.
I know, it's crazy. Being how this is the same state that elected Mazie Hirono.
Correct. Continue.
Okay. This is a no-brainer to me, because to me, you cannot have, as far as I understand, Hawaii does have a concealed carry. Now, it is almost impossible to get, but you cannot legally carry a firearm under a duty to retreat. What's the point?
Yeah, it defeats the
whole
idea.
Because no matter what you do, you're screwed.
But was this a carry situation?
I don't think it was. He
was in his home.
He was in his home.
I mean, while the guy's driving over cars, you have time to go to your safe, get it, retrieve it, load it, and go to work.
But let me, now I get to play devil's advocate, because 2 decades ago, Wyoming had concealed carry, but also had a duty to retreat, and that included your home.
Yeah, they fixed that.
They did fix
in
that.
In rapid order.
Right, but the thing, that whole thing applies. You cannot say, yes, we're going to issue concealed carry. And we were shall issue. It wasn't a may issue. They had to give it to you if they couldn't find cause not to. But yet, I can have a firearm to defend myself, but I'm not allowed to defend myself. I have to retreat.
Yeah, thank God that's not the case anymore.
Right.
Is that the way Hawaii is set up?
Yes.
Yes, they are set up that way.
However, had this individual retreated, more lives would have been lost.
Correct.
So, exonerate him. I'm totally behind it.
No, they did. And another twist of this, and this is an article that came from Ameland. And the title of this thing is "The Media is Forced to Admit That Legally Armed Man Used Pistol to Stop a Mass Murder." Because when they originally reported on this, they were calling the defender the murderer.
Interesting.
And it goes so far as to now they're bringing FBI statistics into question.
Oh.
So where this came from, the FBI from 2014 to 2022 only found 14 cases where an armed defender stopped an active shooter situation. Crime Prevention Research Center has been tracking mass murderers, and they came up during the same time frame of 157 instances.
There's something wrong with the data when there's a divide like that.
Well, I have a theory. Now, we know that, especially since the Biden administration took over, that a lot of these major cities are not properly recording their crime statistics, which is allowing the Biden administration to claim that they are preventing crime and that crime statistics are going down. But you have like 14 major metropolitan cities that aren't reporting. So I wonder if that's not part of it as well.
So I'm seeing a connection between reporting, you know, faulty weather reporting, faulty crime reporting. There's a complete lack of integrity in the information you're being fed. So do your own research.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I tried. I tried because I was trying to look up things on Springfield, Ohio. This is one of the things that we kind of talked about is maybe we need to look into this a little bit. Are the Haitians really eating cats? And I couldn't find anything that wasn't just absolutely contradictory to everything else. I mean, it's a mess. As far as I can tell, Trump and Vance are taking one isolated incident and blowing it up. But then you go and you look at other sources. I mean, I was looking at The Guardian, and they had this whole article where they were interviewing people that lived in Springfield, and they're like, no, that's not what's happening, and now we've been turned into a circus.
Like some of the Haitians, like the one gentleman, they lived in the U.S. for 20 years, and he served on our military. Their children are so afraid to play outside, they play inside. They don't go outside.
So they're being profiled.
They're basically, it's a racism against the Haitian crowd.
We did this at 9/11 too. Anybody that was Arab descent was automatically demonized. People suck. That's not how it works, people. And if your cat goes missing, maybe it just didn't like you anymore.
Well, look, I'm a strong advocate for Chinese restaurants, but
but I mean, they're not eating dogs.
No.
So I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know, and that's the thing. Like, there's
that's the Filipinos.
There is no accurate, truthful, investigative type reporting coming out of this. It's all, like you said before, it's all commentary. It's all rhetoric. Which is why I'm to the point now. I don't trust the media like at all.
They haven't earned it.
No. And in fact, the last time I checked, the media had a lower approval rating than Congress. And I think Congress is, what, 9%?
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
I mean, so
back to being prepared. And comms. You got to be careful who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
At least check, but verify. Listen, but make sure that it works for you.
Well, and that's just it. And I think that brings us full circle to you have to do what's best for you, because what sources can you have, can you trust anymore to actually give you accurate information? I mean, you can't even trust the federal government to give you accurate information. We found that out with COVID.
That's exactly right.
I mean, there's still stuff, 4 years later, coming out about COVID that the government flat out lied to us about.
They did it to cover a lie to begin with.
Right.
And it's the problem with lies. Once you make one, you got to cover it, and then you got to cover it.
And you got to remember what's said.
And then you got to cover it.
Then you got to believe it, because if you don't believe it, then you can't continue down the road.
You got to be convincing if you're going to propagate it. So it's a big problem. And COVID was a horrible example of sheep in the form of people bobbleheading and saying, this sounds good, when it wasn't good. And the people that said, hey, this isn't good, being demonized because, well, what do we know?
Right.
COVID. The vaccinated are still bewildered that the unvaxxed aren't dying.
Yeah, you're right. And yet the vaxxed are having so many medical problems now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
Well, and they are. And if you watch television, they always have these drug commercials. They're trying to sell these drugs. And you know how they tell you what the drug does for you, and then they dare you to take it because they tell you everything it does to you?
But they're asking you to ask your doctor if this is right for you.
And they also said, tell your doctor if you've had the shot. They don't list it, but it's called the shot. We all know what that means.
Yeah.
I mean, we do.
But they did the vaccination out of fear.
Well, and it was... Here's what bothered me about the whole thing. Is before they rolled it out, they declared that pharmaceutical companies were going to be immune from prosecution if there were any adverse side effects to the shot.
because but they yet rushed they, it.
But yet they mandated it in a lot of cases.
They tried, and people lost their jobs and were kicked out of the military and put in situations that they should never have been put in over personal health discussions.
Right. And now it comes out that a lot of these vaccinations that we're given, they're being banned in a lot of countries because of the side effects.
Correct.
It's a scary world.
The human animal is an interesting thing. And viruses and bacteria have been around since the dawn of time, probably before us.
Oh, yeah.
We adapt. When we get a cold, you suffer through it, you have the antibodies, and you don't get that same strain of cold ever again.
Right. You get a new one.
It mutates and changes.
I just give it to Brandy, and she sends it back to me as Ebola.
Don't give it to Brandy. That makes us all suffer. Don't do that.
Got to do it right. I'm going to make you immune to the world.
Oh, man. Oh, I already am. I play the dirt.
Yeah, that group is a boy in Wyoming. Dirt, and some of it's not dirt.
It wasn't. Yeah, that wasn't dirt. I don't think that was mud.
Yeah, but my immune system's better for it in the long run.
It is.
But watch the kids today. They don't play outside.
They don't play outside. And they're, I mean, the hand sanitizer thing is, I think, has gotten out of control. I get it. But, I
drink.
You're right.
I don't need hand sanitizer.
Right, but I mean, I was teaching a class a couple months ago, and one of the students in my class, hand sanitizer every time we came off the range.
All right.
And I mean, I'm like, okay, at a certain point, like this is a dirty activity.
Does hand sanitizer even counteract lead? I mean,
it doesn't.
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't.
So the point was?
Well, and he was only handling his pistol, which he sanitized the last 10 times. So he wasn't coming in contact with anything. So that's a psychosis.
It is, and I see it more and more, and it's actually kind of, I mean, on the one hand, it's scary because are we that weak as a society? But on the other hand, I'm like, well, Darwin has an award for that.
He does. And are we that weak as a society? Well, let's rewind 150 years ago. Those folks were tough. They were made of different stuff than we are today by far.
You don't even have to go back that far. Go back 90 years. World War II.
I'm just talking about the guys that drug a cart.
Right? Oh, yeah. Here,
right? I mean, physical labor was an everyday thing. And if you were a Mormon, you drug your own cart. We have reenactment out here to show the history of it to the kids.
Poor bastards.
They were tough.
They were tough. You had to be. 50 years ago, we were way tougher than we are now.
Yeah, but the life expectancy was less. But life was harder, too. The whole hand sanitizer and the modern medicine has extended our lifespan. But are we better for it?
Tough question. No, God, you're getting all philosophical on me.
Taxes longer. That's it.
You're not kidding there. And I'm going to say this out loud. All foreign aid should be suspended until the East Coast is fixed.
I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But I totally agree with you.
You know, immigration needs to stop.
Take care
of your home first. All right. Okay. Here. I just solved our immigration problem. 20 million people in the country illegally. Guess what? You just got a job. You're going to fix this.
All right. And there's a path to citizenship in there.
There you go.
There should be.
There you go. I would go for something like that because now they are giving back.
Or finally paying their way, whichever you would look at it.
Yeah, that too. That too. But, I mean, I guess to bring this roundabout, in a really roundabout kind of way, things are getting crazy on a level that I don't think we've ever seen before.
They've been going that way for a long time.
Yeah, but somebody put their foot to the floor on this one.
Mother Nature.
Yeah. Yeah. She finally got involved.
She's an angry bitch.
So does this mean that maybe we need to, like, let's skip the election this year? I think the America needs to be single for a while, find ourselves again.
I'm game. We need to find some candidates who are worth a shit.
You know, I ask myself that every time I go into the voting booth. Is this, we have 350 million people in this country, and this is the best we have?
It's the most popular we have.
They're not even that popular.
Again, they're the most popular we have.
Because
the guy that actually could do the job and do it well doesn't want the job.
I don't even think it's that.
There's some merit to that.
Well, and I don't think it's that they don't want the job. I think they would be willing to step up and do the job. They don't want to be themselves and their family dragged through the mud the way American politics has done the last 50, 60 years.
They don't want the job.
Yeah.
I mean, the job comes with a whole different level of scrutiny and drama that is nothing but a sideshow.
I don't know. I would, you know what? I look at AOC. She went from a broke, fired, unemployable bartender to, last I checked, she was worth $26 million, and she's been in office for two terms.
That math doesn't check.
No, it doesn't, but I want that job.
Do you?
Well, look at what she's done. Nothing.
I will start writing your name in every write-in I come across.
I'll do the job. I'll do it.
Yikes. Are you ready?
You want an appointment with me? It's a $20,000 check. I know how this shit works.
Yeah. Wow. No, I don't want that job. I just want to be left alone, man.
Oh, crap. We're, like, coming down to it. So, I guess to get out of here, yes, we kind of made fun of things, but our hearts, our prayers are with those of you affected by the hurricane, with those of you affected by the fires, with those of you who have been touched inappropriately by Kamala Harris.
They're never going to say anything. They paid for that.
Oh, that's right. They did. Oh, yeah. So maybe now is the time, and especially the changing of seasons, we always do this to, you know, check your stocks, check your preps. Make sure you're good to go, because things happen, and things happen quickly and out of the blue. Take care of you and yours. And don't blame your guns.